Welcome to Infinite Consciousness tonight, and thanks for listening. This is Eva Herr, and tonight I have with us Annie Burnside, and we're going to talk about her book, Soul to Soul Parenting, basically a guide to raising a spiritually conscious family. How are you, Annie?
Hi, I'm great. Thank you so much for having me. It's truly an honor to be here.
My pleasure. So before we get started, please tell us a little bit about you, what you do, and where we can find you.
Wonderful. Like you said, I'm Annie Burnside, and I've just written my first book, Soul to Soul Parenting, a book that really poured out of me. It interrelates very much to what we're doing in our own family. My children are now 14, 13, and 10, but they were 4, 7, and 8 when it became very clear to me, an intuitive flash, literally one morning as I woke, that it was time to take the whole family on this journey of spiritual development, personal growth, that has really absolutely changed my life. So the book really poured out, and it just became clear that I think other families could hopefully get something out of it as well, a framework and a source and a friend on the path, so to speak.
That's a fabulous thing. I can relate to that in my own life.
So yes.
What happened in, well, first of all, where can we find you?
Well, soul2soulparenting.com or Annie Burnside, B-U-R-N-S-I-D-E. They both lead to the same website. And I really wanted the website to be just a wealth of information as far as ideas. So I blog for the Chicago Tribune, for example, once a week. There's a new article or blog on there, soul-to-soul perspective. A little bit of soul goes a long way. And then I've got family discussion topics with books, music, movies, and activity, all right there. If parents, if anything resonates tonight and they enjoy the book, it's there's an actual kind of almost like curriculum that they could follow if they so desire.
Fabulous. Okay, before we get started, we already started, sorry. What is soul-to-soul parenting?
Well, to me, soul-to-soul parenting is essentially parenting beyond just face value, the physical form, even the emotions, and really beginning to understand and offer that it's not really parent to child. It's really soul-to-soul. And it's not really neighbor to neighbor. It's soul to soul, doctor to patient, soul to soul. And that, to me, is understanding that we are all eternal, infinite, divine, creative, spiritual beings. And the largest perspective of who we are is so far beyond just the form that sits in front of us with an 80-year lifespan, and to really integrate that. And years ago, and this is a great thing that you can do with your family or by yourself first and then offer it to the family, I began each day, I did it for 30 days on my desk. I kept a little soul-to-soul versus role-to-role chart, and I made a conscious effort each day to go out, no matter what I was doing, grocery store, dropping kids at preschool, and really observe others and see if I could go deeper in my observation of them and feel that they were larger than just role to role. And I tell you what, I began to have some mystical experiences. One in particular, I was on a walk and I looked over to a lawn care worker. I remember the exact place I was in Chicago where I live. And I was overcome suddenly, spontaneously, with what I now call my divine flow energy feeling. My scalp began pulsating. The cells quickened in my body. I became breathless, teary-eyed, heart just expansive. And I felt in that moment the ecstasy of oneness with this lawn care worker. And that was just the first of many soul-to-soul experiences. And literally everywhere, I'd be dropping a kid off at preschool and I'd look up and there's a roofer. Again, soul-to-soul. Oh my gosh, there's another one. There's a nanny walking. There's the child. I was just blown away by this expanded perspective.
So you basically have an agape experience with other people that you observe.
Yes. Yes, and
I say that because that's the name of my book, and that's what it's called.
Oh, it is. I love that. Is that what you call what I've described? You know,
yeah.
We all have access to it. I've never heard it called the Agape Experience. Wow. Does it feel the same for you? Because I know it feels differently in everyone's body.
You know, agape is that unconditional love, like when you have a puppy or a little baby and you just love it so much you want to squeeze it even though it has nothing to do with you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you just love it so much. And that can be just this random puppy or somebody else's kitty. You know how you want to pinch them too hard or squeeze them too hard because you love them that much. Yeah. It can be grown up too, yeah.
Yeah. And part of my book is really this everyday experience that nirvana, that the masters have talked about. One, that we all have the capacity and we all have access to that. Two, it's 2011. You don't need to travel to a mountaintop for the epiphanies or for the agape experience. You don't need to go to an ashram. I was in my local Safeway. This has happened many times, paying, but very present, and I've looked at the bagger in his eyes, and suddenly that divine flow experience, love is everywhere in the store. The store is vibrating with love, and there's the space in between us is just filled with divine essence. There's no separation.
Mm-hmm.
And this is just a normal Wednesday, getting groceries for the family, you know?
Right, yeah.
Yeah, and that's what really excites me for our kids to begin to understand this, who they are at a young age.
Well, I have a question for you then.
Yes.
Have you noticed that the kids are different? Is that one reason? I'm curious, is that one reason that made this come about? Because I call them new kids. I don't care what you call them, indigo kids,
start crystals,
whatever name, it doesn't matter. They're different. They need different kinds of nurturing.
Mm-hmm.
Different kinds of parenting because they, and you tell me, okay, I'm asking you, even though it sounds like a statement, they usually don't fit in or don't feel like they fit in, and they feel like they're alone and they feel like they're different when really they're all alike, but their parents don't understand what is it that's different about their child. Does that have anything to do with what you do?
Definitely. I'll touch with this on two points. One, my book is really focused on just all of us, you know, the parents have as much capacity and accessibility to in any kid, no matter what their age or whether they're indigo, crystal, or whatever. But what you were saying, definitely the kids coming in nowadays are of a little bit of a different frequency. They're wired a bit differently. I think their channels are even wider open. And their gifts, the gifts, amazing. And a lot of what we're labeling, ADD, ADHD, drugging. I'm not an expert in this area, but it is my intuitive feeling, and I know other people that are really working on this area as far as children, that a lot of these children are actually very clairaudient, for example, or clairvoyant. And so when they sit in a normal first grade classroom, they're seeing much more of the reality that's occurring than maybe the 40-year-old teacher.
Mm.
You know, their perceptions, they're multisensory kids, and we don't quite understand that in the educational system. So I think a lot is going to be changing through the years, I hope, because these kids are gifted very much. So I'm glad you brought that up. It's something for all parents to consider, I think, before we just label it and say they're different or they're wrong. They can't be taught in the same type of environment, perhaps, that worked 50 years ago.
I'm going to tell you something, then I want to ask you a question about this. I have an 11-year-old boy. And he has what they label as ADHD. But one day he said something to me. We were outside in the garden, because I have a garden every year, and he said, Mom, do you see that plant, how it has that funny light around it? And it's made up of dots, and the plant's made up of dots. I didn't have a clue what he was talking about, even though I'm conscious.
Mm-hmm.
And now I understand that those dots were the dots of maybe photons, who knows?
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
And so he sees the entire world as dots, so that would make it logical that he would see things differently than the teacher did and have a different way to learn. So do you have recommendations for that?
Well, there's a woman up here in Chicago. She's a fabulous intuitive, even for corporations, and does a lot of work. And she is in the process of right now, this is absolutely... and we're working together because Soul to Soul Parenting absolutely ties into this. But her big forte, she's looking to start Jet Egg camps across the country. I just heard her speak again. It
Jedi
is all.
Camps?
Excuse me.
Did you say Jedi camps?
That's what she's going to call them.
Great idea.
Yeah, because it's her mission is she was just in L.A. They're looking at doing film on this. She's writing a book on it to really that we need to change the way that we are viewing all kinds of things within our kids. Because she works with children, multi-sensory kids. Parents bring them there as a last resort. My kid's been labeled this, my kid's been labeled that. And these kids that are labeled ADHD, for example, are, like I said, are often very clairvoyant. And they're seeing more of what I would call the mural. Like most of us have kind of tunnel vision and are only focusing on one aspect of what's really occurring. And as you and I both know, much, much more is going on than what meets the typical eye or the typical ear. And so their kids are privy to this. But, you know, many don't have parents or teachers that can understand it. So I find it very exciting. I think we're going to break through in this area. I really do. But she is just adamant and passionate that we change the way we're dealing with kids, especially in that realm that we're talking about, ADD, ADHD.
Well, I know I may be getting outside the scope of your book, but you sound like you'd know the question. How do you feel about all the kids playing all of these games instead of being, you know, the parents sticking their kids in with the games on the videos, you know, instead of nurturing them and putting their arms around them and talking to them about their experiences?
Yes, you know, I think that's a great question. I do get asked that a lot, and this is my personal take on it. You know, again, we live in 2011, and I think that technology is not going away, Facebook, some of the games. So I do believe what you resist persists, so I'm not a big believer in none, you know, but I do think a big part of Soul to Soul Parenting, the book, it really is about balancing the exterior world with an interior focus. So that has to be there too, the soul to soul, side by side, the family discussions, the sacredness of life, time together in nature, the closeness, the intimacy, proximity. And some of the other will be there, too. I mean, I use Facebook. It's a wonderful vehicle. You know, my kids do use it, but we monitor, and they need plenty of downtime as well. So that's kind of where I am on it. The exterior world is very mesmerizing for many people, but part of being conscious is seeing the exterior world for what it is and knowing that it must be balanced with the interior focus as well. And that's what I hope to encourage other parents with this soul-to-soul parenting and what we do in our own family to the best of our ability.
So what recommendations can you give to parents as to what they might observe if they have a child like this?
A multisensory child?
Yeah, how do the parents know?
Well, it's interesting. From a young age, you know, I often these kids have imaginary friends, and most likely, I believe they're actually conversing and dialoguing with spirit guides. They might hear things, you know, get answers. They could be clairaudient, meaning they get the hearing that the typical ear can't hear, or they make a comment like your son made to you. Look for those kind of comments that might appear paranormal, and to me, the paranormal is becoming much more normal, and that we as parents need to be open to that. And instead of questioning it or, oh, no, that's not possible, that's very interesting. Tell me more. Take notes on it. Write it in a journal. You know, kind of keep track of these different. You hear kids all the time saying things like to their parents. It comes out, oh, do you remember when we were together before and I was the mommy? This is a 3-year-old and you were the child, you know, and they're recalling a past life. I mean, the veil for them is so thin. And really what I've come to find, there really is no veil. You know, that's kind of the greatest paradox. The physical life is sacred as is non-physical, and there's really not a veil, you know. So those types of things, please ask for more and show respect when your child shares something that might seem out of the ordinary.
How do they need to be, you know, parents so many times today say, see you later, have a good day, honey, bye. Do they need to be touched more and loved more rather than see you later, goodbye, have a good day? Does that make a difference?
I think so. I mean, that's just some natural soul to soul, you know. When we've tried one of the rituals that's listed in the book before our kids go to a play date or out to the door to practice or school, we try and offer one little soul to soul message, something that we've worked on in family discussions. Expect the best today. Remember your spirit, you know, take a conscious breath if you need one. Ask for help. And they know that means they can ask not only earthly help, but spiritual help. Things like that. My daughter Piper, who's 13, my middle daughter, is just kind of getting into socialization and boys and this and that and dropping her off with big groups. And I always say, Piper, stay awake, girl. Stay awake. And she knows, because of what we've done in our family, that that means she's accountable and she's responsible for her choices, her thoughts, her words, her deeds, her postings on the internet, her choices, her priorities, that there is an accountability there because she knows she's creating her own reality. She's shaping, you know.
In your book, you talk about spiritual signs. What do you mean by that? What is that?
Well, I believe that there are just signs everywhere. Again, to me, the greatest paradox is that, divine paradox, is that everything has meaning. Literally, everything has meaning and nothing matters. Meaning we are eternal, divine, infinite spiritual beings. So ultimately, we can't really be harmed, even though we can perceive to be harmed. And it doesn't really matter if you make this choice or that choice. They're natural consequences, of course. But in the end, you're infinite and eternal. And yet, in life, that song that comes through on the radio that speaks to you, you walk by a rose or a butterfly, everything has meaning. So in our family, we have a spiritual sign. It's the butterfly transformation. And for us, it's kind of a fun thing of when you see a butterfly, it's just a reminder of spirit. You know, it's a reminder of who we really are. And we kind of collect them, not in an overdone way, but it's just a neat sign for our family.
Talk about family rituals. What is that? What do you do? What does that do for someone? And what is a ritual someone could do at home, and why would they do that?
Well, I think, you know, as more and more of us are doing a lot of spiritual practice in the home versus in a spiritual community every week, and that is wonderful, too, if you have a church or a temple or someplace that you feel that. But really the purpose of my work is not to take away from that, but to create also within the family some sense, some spiritual threads that become part of who you are. So, for example, we do say a grace before every meal, and we created our own because the one that we had been saying that I had said in childhood, it's fine, but it really didn't quite fit the teachings of today, of this soul to soul. You know, is that you are part of God. You're part of the divine essence versus God is a man in the sky that says yes, no, maybe, you know. And so we create our own prayer. We have a family altar up in our bedroom with a prayer box and really funky little things that are special to each of us. And then I have my own personal altar. My kids have their own little sacred space. So little things like that, I think, are very important that can just really enhance within a family. Spirit means something to us. We're aware. We're thankful. It's not really about worship. It's about gratitude and acknowledgement, I think.
Yeah, you know, HeartMath is doing a lot of work about that, about gratitude and feeling that cohesiveness with other people. Does that play a role in what you teach, or are you familiar with that?
I am familiar with HeartMath. I haven't really done much with it. I'm familiar with it, and I very much respect it. Yeah, I think gratitude, that's one of the big themes. The book is broken into vehicles, the practical methods, and then themes, 15 large, what I would call universal life-affirming spiritual themes. And gratitude and appreciation is one of them. And I take it a little bit further, and I'm not sure if HeartMath does this. They probably do. But in our family, we always want to get kind of underneath it. It's not just be thankful because it's nice to be thankful and another person deserves your thanks or whatever. It's really about gratitude being a frequency, a vibration, a very powerful state of being. And from that state of being, you can create and offer your highest potential. So, and you feel it in your body. It's a high state of being, just like joy. So really, with our children, as they've gotten older, you offer digestible bites, of course, when they're younger. But when they get older, we want them to understand as much as possible the depth and scope of a term like gratitude or self-love or empowerment, you know, or love thy neighbor as thyself, that many of the masters have said, not just because it's a nice thing to do, but because ultimately we're all one. And so that's soul-to-soul parenting. You can stay wherever you want. It's kind of broken up like that, or you can go as deep as you want, depending on where the parent is and their spiritual development.
Now, one thing that I've recently actually been thinking about with my kid, and I hadn't done this yet, is the vision boards. What is that, and what are you talking about?
Yeah, well, you know, a lot of people are talking about this, and for adults, doing a vision board. The movie The Secret, which I think was good in a lot of ways. I wanted it to go a little bit deeper in certain aspects as well, you know, not just visualizing a brand new car. And it did a good job in many ways. But vision boards, you know, I was creating them and really loving them. And just really, to me, it's a statement that it's not magic in and of itself, but it gets you to that raised acknowledgement that you are a creator, that you are, through your thoughts, words, deeds, priorities, beliefs, patterns, perspectives, habits, creating your reality. And so the act in and of itself of just being artistic, opening that gateway up, and actually thinking about your future and what would bring you joy and what you're working on is very powerful. And so I've done them before personally, and then I thought, again, this is all about whatever you're doing personally, offer it to your kids. They're ready. They get it. So then we did vision boards as a family.
What is a vision board?
Oh, a vision board is when usually you get like a big poster board or I like a little bit thicker cardboard, and you get a bunch of magazines, really anything you can draw on it. We would cut things off of cereal boxes. Anything that strikes you is something that you would visualize in your future, something that you would like to create, or is something that represents your spirit, I would say, as well. We do a mixture of that on our vision board. And you sit together, and you talk, and you cut. And it's like a big collage. And we have ours hanging in our back hallway by the back door because, again, it's not something to be hidden. We're proud of it. You know, this is part of who we are as a family, that we do believe that we are much more powerful than we give ourselves credit for, as far as creating what we'd like to have occur in our life. So that's just one method, and it's just kind of an active participation, conscious active participation in your own life, I would say, instead of just having a thought and thinking, oh, I'd like for that to happen one day, and then not really realizing that you can move energy more than you think you can to have it actually occur.
What do you also have a chapter in your book called Cause and Effect, Natural Consequences, and Free Will. Talk to me about that, please.
Yes. That kind of goes along with the vision boards. You know, a lot's being talked about the law of attraction now, like attracts like. And basically, that chapter is really about, again, children understanding that they're co-creators, that things are not just happening by happenstance, that they are energetic, vibrational beings, literally calling things forth, extracting things from an infinite, wonderful pool of creation. So we like to talk to our kids to think much more that they're the cause, not the effect. They're the source. So in other words, joy begets more joy. So if they walk into a Starbucks, for example, and they're in that higher frequency, and, you know, we're all up and down. We feel anger, you got to feel it and move through it. It's not about denying how you feel, but understanding that in those higher states of joy, that is what you're going to then be attracting in your life. So if you go in on that frequency of joy, most likely, because like attracts like, you will extract that from the barista, because she has every human quality within her too. So you could be the same frequency. You're creating it much more than you realize. And the opposite, you go around angry and resentful and this, that, and the other, most likely out in the external world, which is a mirror of your interior, you're going to be running into anger and resentment and hard and effort. So just getting them to understand that a little bit more. And then the natural consequences, of course. I mean, every choice has a natural consequence. So it's not about not being, you know, you have to be responsible for what you're creating, because sure enough, it's going to lead you down a certain path, you know. So a lot about that, being responsible and accountable, is in that chapter, I'd say.
Now, how do you deal with little children?
Little
like,
ones?
You know, elementary age children.
Yeah, we started this when they were 4, 7, and 8. And one, I would say 70% or more of soul-to-soul parenting to me is the parent opening to a path of spiritual development and personal growth. And if they did not do one vehicle from this book, but they began to see themselves in a new light, the frequency of the whole house will elevate just by them illuminating those things that need to be looked at, whether they need to go to AA or counseling or spirit circle or go to an intuitive or take a channeling class or a meditation class. There's endless, or begin reading the books that can help them as they begin to clear out some things and raise their vibration. They're a mirror for their children. Their children then have a luminous, clear mirror of which they're going to base much of their life. So that's really the first thing, without even doing one thing. But to answer your question more definitively, little kids, ours were young, very digestible bites. I offer a lot of picture books and activities in the book, which are great for little kids. And then when the kids get older, it becomes a little, you know, more depth and scope in your discussion. But any picture book, it doesn't have to be a spiritual book. You pick up almost any picture book off your shelf, and there's a theme. You know, everyday life, there's a theme. Or you watch a movie together. There's self-love in lots of movies, you know. We watched Forrest Gump as a family. That's all about soul to soul. You know, or you pick up the body-mind-spirit connection, King's Speech, for example, all about that. And that's not a spiritual movie per se, but I mean blown away by the need to uncover what was behind the stuttering. So you begin to really look in everyday life, and it's the curriculum's right there, all of it.
So how do our parents accept what you have to say? Do they understand? Do they get it?
Other parents?
Yes.
You know, we're almost at a tipping point. I wonder if you would concur in your work. Certainly, the openness to this kind of maybe expanded perspective about who we are, this is the missing piece, P-I-E-C-E and P-E-A-C-E. You know, it's not really an educational thing. It's not an economic. It's not religious or health. It's this spiritual piece of who we really are that's missing. So we can keep putting Band-Aids on things, but until we really come to understand our eternality, our infinite aspect, and what that means, I think it's going to be hard to go where we want to go. So I kind of came out of the spiritual closet about 7 years ago as I began speaking on this publicly at the local library and preschools, very grassroots. But to me now, I don't need to force anyone to go there by any means. I'm open to everyone's viewpoint. But I, for one, am much more confident in speaking my truth on this. You know, and if it resonates with people, great. And I have to say, it's resonating with many more than I ever would have thought. Not much resistance, and I'm on the North Shore of Chicago, and people are hungry for more depth and understanding, is what I'm finding. Do you find that where you are?
Yes.
Yeah.
I find that it's on both ends of the spectrum. Either they're starving for it, or they think I'm a nut because I talk about it.
Yeah. There's some woo-woo. I mean, I definitely think people think, you know, I'm a normal modern mom for sure. I mean, Cubs games, baseball, you know, I do all the normal stuff. But I can talk about hair, jeans, whatever, but I tell you what, my eyes sparkle when the conversation turns to what we're talking about right now. And I'm not afraid to show that anymore. And I used to be a little bit, But I did a big channeling forum at my house in Chicago. 20 women came. I had to turn people away. Amazing. I mean, and the people that had never even heard of channeling or that had, you know, thought it was weird, it blown away. You know, so that 5 years ago, I would not have dared do that. And now it's just like, wow, it's okay.
So have you been to schools?
Me personally?
Yeah.
You know, some preschools. I've got a couple more events coming up to the parents. I used to teach in a public school in the Chicago area, Evanston, fourth and fifth grade. Loved it. There was definitely a feeling that, you know, we're not quite there to go that far probably in a public school setting. But I've spoken at the public library. It's opening to talk a little bit more in these terms. I think it will occur. But schools, you still have to be a little bit careful. If people tend to worry, oh, this is religious, and to me this is not about religion at all.
About physics.
Yes, exactly. But that's so we need to kind of break through that a little bit, I think. But like when we talk about I could go to a school and talk about kindness, and I, of course, would, but I really want to go further. You know, I want to go to what we're talking about tonight to really get a deeper understanding of it.
So another thing I'd like for you to talk about is authenticity and joy, especially when it relates to the children and the family.
How does
that happen? How do you get that message across?
Well, obviously with parenting, and everyone understands this, I mean, it's the modeling of the more comfortable I've become in my own skin. I have one of the vehicles is a visual cue, and for years I had up on my mirror, trust Annie-ness, and now we have all of our names, Gymnast, Pete-ness, Piper-ness, and they know that that means to really trust that the inner aspect of what we choose to express in this lifetime. So I think just modeling authenticity is they've seen me be a little bit different or quirky, or write my first book, and, you know, that book arrived, and the kids were home, and it's not like they jumped up and down and went crazy, but I could see it in their eyes that it gave them permission in their life to follow their heart's desire and not be afraid to do that.
Now,
so
you talk about something in your book that I live my life by.
What is it?
Yes. How do you teach your children to do that?
Well,
is that who you're teaching, or are you teaching the parents?
You know, it's funny you should say that. As we talk about all of this, and people have said after reading the book, the book Parents the Parent, and it's and the child at the same time, and we're going through that. I mean, I continue to grow. The more you uncover, the more there is to uncover. There's no finish line to enlightenment. I used to think that there was. It becomes more.
I totally agree.
Yeah,
The more you learn that you don't know anything.
Yes, and the more you desire to see what's in that interior, to look at those scars and wounds, and find the gifts, you know, and there's that sense as you go down this path or utilize the book Soul to Soul Parenting, you are simultaneously growing right along with your children. It's and your moments of illumination, we'll call it, become more and more frequent and long-lasting, I would say. That's definitely a sign. But I'll be out of the woods in full-blown clarity and joy like you would not believe, and then back in the woods a little bit, some self-doubt, some this, some that. So, and we talk about that openly. I'm feeling it today. My vibes are so, you know, this. And then they know when you're in that higher state of vibration, the synchronicities are endless. Life is effortless, and I share that. Oh, I just thought about that person. You know, they'll call. Of course they call. I don't even have to make the phone call. So you're more open about your vibes and what's occurring instead of just kind of, that was interesting, but not sharing it, you know, with your children, because you want to model trusting your vibes and acknowledging the synchronicities. We're very big on appreciating the universe working with us.
So how do you describe a synchronicity to your children?
Well, we describe, they know now that they're psychic, that we're all psychic, that they're intuitive, that they have direct divine connection. And we describe kind of noticing they might have thought about something and then there it is. It shows up. Oh my gosh, we were just talking about that person. We ran into her. So you start in like subtle little ways expressing how life works in that way, and it can be full of flow. We had this great family discussion down in Lake Michigan. We do a family discussion once a week, which is one of the vehicles where we will open and describe, talk about some of these themes, and you circle back over and over again, forgiveness, self-love, in many different ways through life experiences. And we'd had this great conversation on us being angels in disguise, that we are actually angels in disguise, that God is not a larger version of us. We are a smaller version of God, and what that meant. Well, there are all these racks down at Northwestern University, painted racks that students have painted through the years. Well, after a wonderful family discussion, my two girls went off and started playing. They were like 10 and 8 at the time or something. And, of course, perfect, blissful family discussion. They got into a fight over whose rack was going to be the dining room rack. Again, this is not about perfection. You bump up against each other for sure in a conscious family. But fight, so all right, let's get back on our bikes. We got to go. Well, my middle daughter, Piper, had gone down to another rack to kind of pout. And I went down to get her. Lo and behold, unknowingly, where she had sat pouting, she sat on a rack that was painted with a naked woman with angel's wings, and a woman, like a human, but with angel's wings. I called the whole family down there. I mean, I had my divine flow. We had just had We Are Angels in Disguise family discussion, and I was almost speechless, like shaking, like, kids, this is it. These are the signs. These are the synchronicities. And the seeds were planted. You know, they weren't as excited as I was, believe you me, but the seeds are planted, you know, and that's all that we can really hope for.
Well, since I've done all the question asking, we have about 15 or so minutes. What do you think is important to talk about that we haven't talked about?
Let's see. I would say, you know, if anything resonates to me, I always say, and I wonder if you would agree with this, I have a feeling that you would, but everything to gain and nothing to lose. It's hard to put into words or express the expansion, that beginning to look at life from this broader perspective and not just at face value has done for me. As far just everything has shifted. You know, and so I just say that if you feel any type, to me, if you get a feeling of enthusiasm, eagerness, a little spike in your adrenaline as you're listening, that's a sign, you know, like just try it. Baby steps, big steps, it doesn't matter. There's really no right or wrong whatsoever. And to really begin to feel your way a little bit more, we're working with our children on that a lot. We even call it a red light, green light navigational system in their body. You know, if they're with a group of friends continuously, they feel good. But then when they've been with a group of friends, they feel a little bit dense. They feel tired. They feel dread. They feel anxiety in their stomach or solar plexus area. To listen to that. And likewise, move in the direction, the groups of friends, the activities where you feel accelerated, where you feel joy, where you feel upliftment. So we talk about the feeling, the direction, and that your soul is really an inner compass. It's a guidance system. You know, and I can't promise you that you're going to see these. We're a normal family. We have challenges for sure. But my husband and I both feel that this offering of consciousness will be the best of what we offered our children.
I can't agree more.
You know, and when they're 25, whether they become a physical therapist or a doctor or a waitress, doesn't matter to me, but there will be this sense of who they really are. And that is, I think, the greatest gift that we can offer them.
That brings a question to me. So yes. Many people push their children to be some very important thing, a doctor or a lawyer.
Yeah.
And I wonder what you think about, do you push your children academically, which is more important, pushing your children academically or building their soul?
Well, it's funny you should ask this, because as I'm sure that you've probably heard of in your listeners, the whole tiger mother the Chinese superior Chinese parenting that was it got more hits on the internet than anything. And
no, Amy, I haven't. So tell me.
There's a new book out, The Battle Hymn of the Tiger Mother. That's just, oh my gosh! Apparently, more comments on the internet. There was a big Wall Street Journal article. This is about early January, I think. And her whole thing is just, I mean, people thought it was very harsh, but just pushing her kids. No playdates, no plays, you play the piano, only A's are acceptable. And so a lot of blogs have been written about it. I myself wrote one as well, and she calls herself the Tiger Mother. And I don't, you know, she has a right to raise her kids however she wants. A lot of people felt very angry about it. I felt like, I'm sure she loves her children as much as I do, but to me the difference is how we define success. So if one defines success as status, financial gain, fitting into societal norms, then her method of parenting definitely has legs. But I call myself not a tiger mom, but a butterfly mom. So to answer your question, my greatest and deepest heart's desire for my children is transformation. And it, meaning self-realization. They're perfect as they are coming in, but to self-realize what we've been talking about here tonight. So, yes, of course, my children do their homework, and we're concerned about their grades as far as we want them to do their best. We place importance on academics for sure. But in my heart, if my children walk and take out the garbage and they spontaneously look up at that sky and they feel what we've shared here tonight, that inner divine flow of connection, that's what I want more than anything else for my child. And if they become a garbage man or a doctor or whatever it is, if they can feel and offer soul to soul to the world through their work, then I will feel that they are a tremendous success.
Yeah, my perspective is that we are spiritual beings having a human experience.
Yes.
And so I get criticized about this a lot. My primary objective is raising spiritually conscious children.
Yes.
Because it's all about ascension of the soul, not having fun and playing games here. It's about what can we do to evolve our children's soul. That's my perspective. Do you share that?
You know, I do. And I would add to that, again, that it's everyday life is sacred. I mean, I'm talking about, you know, my kid loves baseball. And he says, Mama, I love this. I could play this every day. And I say to him, Pete, that's your spirit, dear baby. That's your spirit. And so I encourage that. Wonderful. If you want to hit ball after ball, and he feels it in his body. And so we the soul, and it's all connected for us. And every day, pop songs. We're not saying, I don't think you're calling for this either, that you become just, to me, spirit is in everyday life. You know, Miley Cyrus's song, The Climb, I feel it. I feel it in that. My children feel it in that. We share that. We dance to that, and that's beautiful. You know, so, but yes, I agree with you. My love and what I care more than anything else about is my child's soul, and really getting to know that, and them being very intimate with their own soul, the voice of their own soul for inner resonation and truth.
It matters more to me what happens to my children when they're not here anymore than what happens here. I mean, I want them to be safe, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I want them to integrate, but that's what really matters, because that's what really counts, I think.
Yeah. It's, you know, and this soul, I think you have a love for the soul as I do. And I want that talked about more. You know, if I could change the world, I think greater intimacy with our own soul is what will change the world.
I think so, too.
And I hope that that's where we're headed. I really do. And I think it takes someone like you doing a radio show like you're doing. And, you know, I wrote this book. It poured forth not just for my own family, but really with a larger vision of how can I contribute to the world.
You know? PMH Atwater is just about to put out a new book. It'll be out in the next couple of months. Are you familiar with her work?
No.
Mm-mm. Oh, you need to be. She's writing a new book. She's researched for, I don't know, 30 years maybe, on the new children. And I'm going to use that word, but it encompasses every phrase that somebody wants to label on them. And she's integrating every bit of her work about the indications that you have a new child, how they're different, how to help them integrate, how to talk to them, how to ask them questions, because the children sometimes don't even know.
No.
And I think it would be a great resource for you and our listeners to take a look at that book when it comes out. I didn't even know the name of it right now, but I
definitely
know it's coming out soon.
Absolutely. And I think it's, I'm so glad that that came into our conversation, because it, and I address this some in my book, it's very important. Like, our middle daughter is very clairsentient, and, you know, she had a lot of separation anxiety in preschool, and a typical parent might just say, oh, you've got to get her into school, she has to go to those big birthday parties. But you know what? It was hard. It's been very developmental. It's hard when you're very clairsentient and empathic to sit in a classroom of 22 kids. You're channeling energy all day long.
Yeah,
and so it to even notice things like that, it's better than a huge, loud, chaotic birthday party does not suit that child, especially at a young age.
Yeah, I think parents don't realize that their children feel other children's emotions, and teachers, they feel those things. And
yeah.
They can't always understand that they're not feeling their own feelings, that it's someone else's.
Yeah.
You know, how to separate that, how to distinguish that from theirs and someone else's. And parents don't realize that their children are doing that, and it's hard for them.
It is, right. It's not just that they're trying to be difficult and they don't want to go to preschool or something. And so there are many things that you can do. You know, why do we need the child to go to the big birthday party? You know, just say no to that and then invite maybe a one-on-one play date with the birthday child at the park at another time would be more doable for your particular child. So I think that we can all, myself included, we need to really feel for the texture of our child. And it does not hard. It takes a little bit closer observation of each child in the family, I think. You know, and they know more than we think. If they're not happy in competitive sports, you know, they probably, it's too much energy on the field, the chaos. That's not their thing, period, you know, and that's okay.
And so, how do you feel about, you know, as parents, we know these things. How do you feel? Some people tell me, oh, you tell your children too much information about this kind of stuff, because they think that we're brainwashing our children with something. But how do you feel about sharing what we know about spirituality? I call it consciousness, because it's not about God. It's about who they are, and it's not about church. It's about that higher power that resides within them. How do you feel like about telling them the truth?
Oh, well, that's what this book is. That's when they were 4, 7, and 8, it was like this a wonderful intuitive flash, very strongly, it's time, and you can do it in digestible bites, and that's what I wanted to offer people. I didn't want them to wait until they're 40 and they go through a tragedy that forces the, you know, which is not bad. My parents went through a divorce at age 19, which really is what propelled me forth on the spiritual path, but I was cracked wide open, and that's okay. You can go through the dark night of the soul, but there's an easier way to get there too.
Sorry, go ahead.
These kids are perfectly capable now of getting there. They don't have to go through the dark night and create a lot of psychic debris and baggage that they're going to have to sift through later for their lessons, as many of us have had to do. They can be off and running and offering their gifts to the world.
Yeah, I think if we don't educate our children, let's rephrase that. If we do educate our children about this stuff, we can save them some of those dark nights of the soul.
Yeah.
And if you don't mind, what is a dark night of the soul to you?
To me, it's all of us usually in this generation, or it's maybe three, four pivotal moments in your life that appeared to be either tragic, extremely difficult, often lasting not just one thing, but a period of months or years or like a death or a divorce. But then it's really a jumping point for a catalyst for tremendous speedy growth, really.
Yes.
So many gifts. Yeah. That's what I would say, dark night of the soul, and we want to resist those. But man, the few that I've had, I have grown faster and more than when life is just normal.
Yeah, I think if we teach them about that, then they will understand that when it comes and they don't have to suffer, they can just say, okay, this happened today.
Yeah, right. Well, when they understand that there actually is no death, you, of course, you'll grieve as a human, and you should go through that process. But the understanding of their eternality changes everything, too, you know.
Yeah, and to teach them that things are perspective only.
Yeah, and I'm sure with your work, I mean, we, you know, I talk to people on the other side, quote unquote. I dialogue with spirit. I feel at them. I want my children. We're very open that that's possible, and very much so. And so that there's not this big secrecy about anything, that it's available. Everything's available to them. So, yes, your question, I would say, I'm a big believer, and that's why I wrote the book, Let's Do It Now. It's okay. There's nothing to fear in children because they know anyway. You know, they're newer into the body than we are. They don't have all the masks to peel back.
Yeah, my daughter had an event one time. She had this little doorbell thing that it had a button on the outside of her bedroom door, and it had a wire that went in and a little thing, a little bell, and it would go ding-dong. You were supposed to ring it to come into her room. But it started one day it started going ding-dong, ding-dong, and it did it for hours. And finally she came to me and said, Mom, because I can talk to dead people too, she said, you need to, please, will you see who that is ringing my doorbell? It's driving me crazy. And sure enough, and I don't normally talk about this on my show, but I will with you, it was my father. And
wow.
He was telling us something that was about to happen in our family that was going to be very painful and that we needed to prepare for it. And sure enough,
mm-hmm.
It happened, but we were ready.
You were ready.
My child was ready for this thing that was about to happen.
That's
and it took
beautiful.
A couple of months for the thing to get here. But we listened to that weird thing.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
I think that parents ought to take their children seriously when they come and say, something's weird happening.
Yes, that's exactly. That's a beautiful story. These are the type of things that I don't think need to remain hidden anymore. You know, when I do a workshop and you kind of mention something, of course, I'm sure you experienced this too, the number of people, when my mother was dying, this is what happened.
Yeah.
And her spirit, you know, I mean, most people, if they really think about it, have had direct divine connections such as what we speak of. And we could all enjoy it much more if we were more open about it, you know, beginning with our children. Utilize it. What a wonderful gift your father gave you all, you know?
It was amazing. It really was. Because otherwise we wouldn't have expected that thing that was about to happen. But we listened, and it made a difference in our lives that we did.
Yeah, and it sounds like, you know, you can become very in sync with spirit. I feel very in sync, you know, not all the time, of course. I go into the woods a little bit, but more and more and more in sync with the spiritual realm, and we're working together to create, you know, it's a wonderful thing. So
we've got about 2 minutes, so that's your time to say whatever you think's important, to tell them again where to find you and any last important words you have to say.
Okay. Thank you all. First of all, thank you, Eva, so much. To talk about what clearly is a passion for you too. And I hope listeners can feel it in my voice, this spirituality and the family, those two combined, I feel such enthusiasm for this topic and where we're going. If anything resonated, I would trust yourself to begin to be the expert in your own family in a way, you know, follow your interior as far as what you truly want to offer your children. Because if not you, who? And if not now, when? There's nothing to fear. It's just an openness, and curriculum is everywhere. And definitely use my website. I offer it right there, topics, whatever you take a blog and read it as a family and discuss it. Whatever you need, there's a lot of help out there, not just my book, many, many, many others, lots of people out there to find on this wonderful topic. So I just can't thank you enough to have the opportunity to share my work and the work that you're doing. I think it's so much in simpatico, and it's really a nice thing that you're offering people a little bit of a platform to share for an hour, you know, so thank you.
Well, thank you, too. Tell people, if they wanted to contact you, where would they do that?
through my website. It's Annie, A-N-N-I-E, at annieburnside.com, and that's all on my website. I've become kind of a big Facebook gal as far as it's a very easy way. It's a vehicle for me to stay connected to all these people that I'm connecting with, even around the world. It's amazing. So there's a Facebook button that you could hit, and we could become Facebook friends if that's something that fits. And then, you know, there's just kind of awareness, a feeling of camaraderie out there. I'm finding that with a lot of people. So that would be an easy way to connect, I think.
Okay. Well, thank you, Annie, for coming on. And your book is fabulous.
Thank
I can't
you.
Recommend it enough to have two parents who are trying to have a better quality relationship with their children and raise a more conscious spiritual child.
Oh, thank you. Have a wonderful night. I'm so glad we did this.
Me too. Good night.
Okay. See you later. Bye-bye.